In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So I suspect that this will not surprise you, but I want to go back and talk more about grace. Because here's what we have. Once we begin to understand how grace works, sanctifying grace, sacramental grace, actual grace, that pushy actual grace, who's constantly moving, spontaneously provoking our hearts, redirecting our hearts, do this, go the extra mile, say this, don't say this, actual grace constantly working in the midst of our world. Once we begin to understand the workings of grace, we begin to come to the conclusion, well, as the presence of God, it's all grace. Grace is constantly here. And now we're beginning to understand the reality and the world as God sees it. Once we understand grace in that context, we begin to understand what sin really is. Remember, sin is a verb. It's Hebrew. It means to miss the mark. And when we sin, we miss the mark. It means we didn't hit the bullseye. We didn't do exactly what God was asking of us. Once we understand grace, sin begins to make more sense. God moves my heart. Show mercy. Give this act of kindness. Speak a word of consolation. And I choose not to. I miss the mark. Sin is the exception. Sin is the offense. Sin is the privation. Grace is what abounds. Grace is how God sees us. Grace is how God sees the world. But so oftentimes what happens is we sin and we start seeing everything from our sin. Everything is about sin. Is that a sin? Is this a sin? But actually, the question should be the opposite. Is grace asking me to do this? Is the presence of God dwelling in my heart? Can I give more praise to God and know of His presence by doing this action or not doing this action? Once we begin to realize that sin is the missing of the mark and it's all grace, there is a massive proactive movement in our hearts. We begin to realize the actual presence of God. Today, Jesus tells us, don't be looking for the kingdom of God everywhere. The kingdom of God is among you. The presence of God is here. And how do we expand that presence? By allowing grace to work. By saying yes. We know that the more we say yes to grace, the more our nature is expanded. Our nature actually expands. We become more of ourselves because of grace. The more we do that, the more God's presence can be here. There's not more God. God is infinitely perfect, eternal. There's just more God in my soul, your soul. There's more presence of God in our community. So we have to start seeing things in terms of grace. And when we ask ourselves about sin, when we do the examination of conscience, the question should be not, is this a sin, that's a sin, as if we're in some type of courtroom, but rather understanding our relationship with God. Did I say yes to the presence of God? Did I say yes to grace? Or did I miss the mark? Did I sin? And I want to, in particular, emphasize that point. Because so oftentimes, and we can blame some of our children's catechisms for this, our whole worldview is sin. When our entire worldview should be grace, the presence of God among us. We pay attention to sin because it robs us, it deprives us of grace. It takes away the presence of God from us. So we have to keep our focus. I want you, as you move throughout the next week, to try to identify in your own lives whenever there is a moment of actual grace, and you know it. You're walking, and all of a sudden, actual grace says, go over and say hello to that person. I don't want to say hello to that person. Actual grace is calling. Am I going to do it? No, I'm not going to do it. Okay, then I missed the mark. That's a sin of omission. Or someone offends me, and they ask for mercy. Actual grace says, show them mercy. I don't want to show them mercy. I want to hurt them because they've hurt me or my loved one. Okay, then I've missed the mark. I have sinned there by commission because I have not given mercy. This should be now the whole new worldview of the baptized Christian. The presence of God that dwells among us, the presence of God that dwells within each of our hearts. And we should be focusing more on grace and virtue rather than on sin. Because if we don't understand grace, what are we fighting for? If someone says, I'm fighting against sin because I want to get to heaven, But you don't understand the presence of God in your soul on earth. What does heaven mean to you? You have to begin to understand as Christians the notion of grace. We have utterly lost grace in theology today. In fact, as a moral theologian, when I talk about grace, my fellow theologians snicker. They think it's funny. Huh? Our catechisms almost speak nothing of grace. But grace is the heart of the spiritual life. Grace is the heart of our transformation into the likeness of God. I suspect that, and I would argue that if we're going to be Our Lady of Grace, that's our parish, we should kind of know a little bit about grace, right? And I think it's powerful that of all of the titles of Our Lady, Padre Pio, the one he loved the most, he named the children's hospital that he built money for and had built. He loved the title Our Lady of Grace and had the hospital named after Our Lady of Grace. So this holy mystic in our own day, of all the titles of Mary, turned to Our Lady of Grace. Because, dear friends, we need grace. As a people of God, we have to be more aware of grace. And we have to approach Our Lady and ask her to continue to pour the grace of her Son into our hearts. So that when God asks something of us, when he wants to be present among us, when he wants us to be an instrument of grace to another, he will always know that we will faithfully, unconditionally say yes. As we talk about actual grace, has actual grace moved your heart to pray for your loved ones? How many Christians forget their loved ones? It's completely scandalous that a child of the resurrection, understanding that death does not have the last word, would forget their loved ones. I can't understand that utter lack of charity and justice. So has actual grace moved your heart? Perhaps you were praying for your loved ones and all of a sudden, boom, another name comes to you. Gosh, I haven't thought of them in years. Or, well, yeah, I worked for that person years ago. Actual grace. God desiring to work in you and through you. Say yes to that grace, dear friends. In fact, I encourage you. Perhaps this next week, as you begin to discern the movements of actual grace, every time God asks you to do something, for this coming week, hopefully for the rest of your lives, right? But for the coming week, put God to the test in a righteous way. And everything that grace asks of you, say yes. Just say yes to whatever he asks of you. And I assure you, dear friends, if you show that boldness to divine grace, you will see a manifestation of God's divine presence that you thought unimaginable, unachievable in this world. For God desires to work in the hearts of his children and through the hearts of his children. Our responsibility as his children is to give that definitive, unconditional, faithful yes. To listen to grace, say yes. And if you focus on grace, the sins in your heart will fade away. They will fade away. The early fathers of our faith taught us, if you want to draw close to God, do not fight sin, for you will lose. If you want to draw close to God, nurture grace. Grace will conquer the sin in your heart. Say yes to grace, dear friends. Whatever it might ask of you, be bold, be confident, be faithful, be generous. Whatever God's grace asks, do it.